Shall we stand once again and honor them? Come on.
That as you're out and about and you see a veteran, and by the identification of his hat, that certainly you will take the moment and simply thank them, even if they just seem to keep walking by, just thank them for their service. And the other day, there was a veteran. He was getting a little on the older side, and there's, he had a Korean hat on. And I thanked him. I said, just thank you, sir, for serving and putting your life out there. I said, somewhere in the Korean conflict, my uncle served with you there on that field. And right away he said, did he come back? Just that quick. He said, did he come back? I said, yes, sir, he did. He said, good. He said, I'm glad to hear that. I said, he went on to be with the Lord now. I said, he's in glory, and which is where I pray you as well will be one day. And he just said, thank you. So just always take the opportunity to thank them. And again, brothers and sisters, you notice there on those screens and those pictures that there's a lot of deceased now from our congregation. And so we are so grateful. I think it's really an amazing thing that we have as many veterans as we do here from our small congregation. It's a very powerful thing. We thank the Lord for each and every one of you, and just bless you and your families, and praise God he brought you back. Amen. He brought you back. And so only yous know what it was really like. We love you. Children are dismissed to Ignite. Are we doing Ignite this morning? Okay, thank you, Autumn. Alrighty. Opening your Bibles this morning to the book of Amos. It's going to move away from Philippians these few minutes this morning. We're in the book of Amos, and the reason that I am doing this, when you get the book of Amos, if you're not sure where Amos is, get your table context, get the page, and get there. It's okay. And just in the thoughts of Veterans Day, Thanksgiving, our Lord Jesus Christ, war, rumors of war, and one day wars will cease, all of them. And wars happen because of tyranny, oppression, man's selfish, power-hungry heart, wicked heart, and the engagement. And we are ever so grateful, as you saw the verse there at the beginning of the slide, and how that God has placed in our midst ministers of righteousness, and not only in our military, and but as well in our police force, and in all branches and everywhere. So we are grateful for these, as quite a few will leave the, when they are having served their time in the military, then enter into some form of law enforcement, and we are grateful. It's a challenging day. So I just wanted to share here a few words this morning from Amos in chapter 8. And knowing that as we look forward to the wonderful day when our Lord Jesus Christ will set up his millennial kingdom rule, and there will be peace all over the world. All over the world. And we're going to be reading there from chapter 9 of Amos, and right down through to the end of the chapter in these verses. And on that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old. that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the Gentiles who were called by my name, says the Lord who does this thing. Behold, the days are coming when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. And I will bring back the captives of my people Israel, and they shall build waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in the land, and they shall no longer be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. I bless the reading of his word to our hearts. As we are entering into this week of Thanksgiving, and I pray that you will give attention to it in your own life, give some very studious thought to the Lord's goodness in your life, in your family, and where you are. As together then, as the church family as well. And knowing that even in this past year, as we have, as every year, experienced the hardships or the tragedies or the challenges of life and loved ones leaving. But as Abraham Lincoln said, there is never a time when we cannot not praise the Almighty for his wonderful blessings to us, the sovereignty of his care over us, the guidance that he bestows upon us each and every day. For the Lord has opened for us the way to approach our Heavenly Father and call him just that, our Father. You're thankful for his care over your life. And perhaps many of you are like myself in that as our wonderful veterans, you probably remember experiences in your life when you say to yourself, if it weren't for the hand of the Lord, I would not still be here. I wouldn't be here. But that is watchful care over. And especially to you who have served in the military, and that his shield and his covering over you. And so we have much to be thankful for. It's been a difficult couple of years, and the Lord has been so gracious to our church body and to churches around, and for that which we are gracious. And we know there are a lot of struggles yet that are going on, and as the choir sang, we don't know about tomorrow, what it'll bring. We do not know what the rest of today brings. But we know who is in charge, the sovereignty of our Lord. And he holds our hand. And for many times in our own life, and when things happen and shake us to the core, as we have studied, he comes alongside and he says, don't be afraid. It's me. As we see our day progress, a day that continues to degenerate culturally and spiritually, and not knowing how deeply these things will digress until the day of the Lord. But we know that in Christ we are safe and secure. We serve a risen Savior. We have much to be grateful for. And that in Christ, until it is his time, and therefore your time for him to call you home, you are well, you're safe, and keep pressing on. But as Christians, we look forward to the day when Christ will establish his millennial kingdom and the peace that will inhabit and just sovereignly cover the earth and the beauty of it all. We live in a day as we read here with Amos, and Amos is a tremendous book of prophecy that you should read and reread, and as it speaks greatly of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank the Lord for the word. And as we read here from Amos in chapter 9, and it follows on the heels of the words that he said in chapter 8, I want you to be thankful this coming year, this week, church, for the blessed privileges that you have in Christ, and above all that you have the Word of God. And not only that you have the Word of God, but by His grace He has instilled a hunger in you that you desire to read and acquaint yourself with the Word and drink of its truths that will encourage your heart, that will deepen your heart, that will keep your mind steadfast and sure, keeping it clear. You wash your mind every day with the Word of the Lord. And knowing as you read the news and you hear the news and all that's happening, and along with family things and along with the treacheries of your own heart, and know that is the truth of God's Word. His Word speaks. His Word is true. And He tells us the things that are going to happen. But Amos preaches and declares to the peoples and to the streets in that day that the Lord will send a famine of the Word. And we ask the question, why? Why will there be a famine of the Word? What do we mean, a famine of the Word? In these latter days, and as dark as they are, and as wicked as they are, people are refusing to hear and give place to the Word of God in their hearts, refusing to hear it, period. And because of this refusal, there is a day coming when God says there will be a famine. People will go to and fro. People will go from shore to shore in America. People will search here and they'll search there. They will struggle to find a word and to hear the word and to know the word. A waste that is coming. Because people, in rejecting the Word of God, is the rejecting of God Himself and who He is. And in this, it will become like the prodigal who fared well in his father's house. And he had many, just the wealth of his house, the many blessings he enjoyed. There wasn't anything that he couldn't have. As the Word said, he fared exceedingly well. And knowing that the day came, as you know the story, he wanted to strike out on his own, so he asked for his share of his inheritance from the family, and off he went. And he would not heed his father's voice and stay. Under the safety and under the shelter and under the provisions of his father. And he left. And the very example that he came, and as he engaged in the world, and he went from riches to rags. So it is as a nation and a people, so it is the church, so it is with all when we reject God and we reject His Word. Church, just know that as the days progress onward to the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when He will call His church out, the days will get darker. The Word of God declares it so. It'll get darker, but we know that the day that is coming behind that, when the Lord shall come, and He shall, as He calls out His church, and then He will come back 7 years after that and establish His millennial rule. And it will be a beautiful time. We will come back with Him. And how the peace that will rule the earth. Israel had wasted the Word of God. And so therefore, in all of their matters, and the neglecting and the despising of God and His Word, and it even came to the point in time in Israel's life when they forbade it to be spoken. And think you not that it's going to happen in America. That day is coming where the public proclamation of God's Word will be forbidden. Pray that it doesn't. But history repeats itself. And we see the degeneration in authority in places of today, and the persecution of the church around the world that will one day come very close here in America. If it doesn't, hallelujah and blessed be the name of the Lord, but don't take it for granted that it won't, because these days are coming, because God says, you have rejected my word, and as he addresses the church in this, and the church is going the way of culture, the way of the world. So you, Christian, each individually and together as the body, we hold to the word of God. And as the Lord says, that he will certainly repair the church. He will repair the world. He will restore his nation, Israel. And she shall never again be disillusioned and uprooted as she has been. He says here in verse 11, I will repair, I will raise up, and I will rebuild the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that the Lord Jesus, the deepest need of all humanity every day, every time, everywhere, is communication from God, with God, to God, back and forth. It is the most important thing you do every day. You read his word, you commune in prayer, you meditate upon who he is and his life in your life, Christian. And to you who have never been born again, in that you must give your heart and life unto Christ, for he alone is the way, the truth, and the life. You are the Lord's, he is yours, and we find here that God tells us everything that's going to happen. And you mark this day, and when that day comes, for God says there's going to be a famine in the land of the word of God. And we will long for the Lord. We find that the Lord Jesus Christ, it is certainly the word of God, is the revelation of God, and all that he is the revelation of God and of his will and of his way. It reveals to you and I about our soul and our need to come to Christ and in our life and submitting our will unto his. And it is about the very message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and his death upon Calvary's cross and his resurrection, in that there are just but two destinations for every person, every soul that has ever lived and ever will live. And that is either with Christ, in Christ, hidden in Christ, in his salvation, onward to heaven, or apart from Christ, outside of Christ, and a departure from this life into the deeps of hell. There are no other way. There's no other places. And the only way unto salvation is through Jesus Christ. So you must continue to be thankful unto the Lord, and for his love in your heart, that you have been born again and that you are his, because he has called you to himself, and now that you live your life unto him. And certainly the warning here will come as God has said it will. Why? Because of the heinousness and the wickedness of man's treacherous heart. Guard your heart, the word says, with all diligence, for out of it comes the very issue of life. And God's word says the day comes when man will call good evil and will call evil good. And we're in that day right now. So you be thankful this season. First of all, for the life that he has given you, and that you, your love in your heart for him, and that you have in him. Because in your salvation, in mine, in that where we are in Christ, it is nothing of our own doing. It is because God has set his love upon each and every one of you, and upon me and all of his children, and all that follow the Lord. He has set his love upon you and has called you to himself. And in that, you rejoice, and you rejoice greatly. And always being ready each and every day to be called unto the Lord. But the Lord says that day is coming. That day is coming, again, after the rapture, after the judgment of the church, and coming, and he will restore righteousness into this world. He will rule the world. Every king, every ruler, every governor will bow their knee unto Christ. Every person on this planet will bow unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He will rule the world with blessing. As I thought about this morning, what really started was when I saw here in Amos chapter 9, and when there in verse number 13, when he says, the plowman will overtake the reaper. The plowman will overtake the reaper. And what that simply speaks is during that time, the blessings and the richness of Christ upon this world, that the harvest can scarcely all get taken in until the one who sows and the one who plants is coming right back into the field. He talks about the mountains dripping with wine and just running down the fields, and how his people will plant the vineyards and the richness of the grapes just flowing down the mountainsides. It'll be a powerful, beautiful thing. The blessings of God will just abound. And now, because what has happened here in the millennial kingdom, we come a time where there is these just a beautiful reversal of the curse of God and the darkness of God and of all things that have happened, and the land will be rich. It'll be bountiful, as the Lord himself will be in rule. He will be the governor of the world. So it is a land of that will be certainly of unheard of fertility. It is to be such a beautiful time. This is the blessing of the Lord. We all in our lives have gone through series and seasons physically and weather-wise with drought and seasons of plenty. We've gone through times and seasons in our lives where spiritually we've gone through drought and we've gone through plenty. We've gone through good times and in bad times, times of health and times of sickness. We have gone through times of plenty and times that, you know, wasn't quite as plentiful. But we've always had enough. We've always had more than enough. We are a spoiled and a wealthy people. And know that today around the world, some 60 to 70,000 people will die of starvation. Will die. From little babies right on up through. And the blessings that we have. The Lord has been good and good unto us. And we look forward to a beautiful time of the plenty of the Lord. The pledge of all of this, I want you to notice, is right there in verse number 15 and 14 and 15, where God says, I will bring back my people Israel. He will call back his people Israel from all over the world. God says, I will do this thing. And the blessings that they will know. We find it, he says, I will plant them in their land in verse 15. He goes on down there, and in the closing of the word, it says, the Lord himself says these things. As we look forward to the day and the consummation of the age, and the next great event to happen is the rapturing out of the church, and then the days are going to really darken down. And when the Lord returns with his church and establishes the millennial kingdom, it'll be a blessing, it'll be a power, it'll be a beauty as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ in his kingdom, and how that will be as the Lord designs it so. But your life here, Christian, will determine your level and your involvement of service in the millennial kingdom and onward and through all eternity, serving the Lord here, now, giving him, as the word says, first place in your heart. The pledge of all this is from the Lord and his graciousness. So in this season, in this time, we have thankful hearts for now and for the days to come and for this unfolding of this great event. With the joy of God's people will be to know and to be part of the ruling of Christ around the world. In all the wicked, evil kings and kingdoms, they will bow their knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. This will be a very beautiful time that we come around this morning, and that throughout this week, may your life be ever changed. Perhaps something happened in your life that is difficult for you to be thankful for, asking for the grace. The Lord is in charge of all things, to heal your heart, to repair even right now in your own lives the damages that perhaps life has brought you, and the struggles in your own life and even with God in these things. Ask Him to heal your heart. Ask Him to sovereignly lay hold of your heart and bring me in line with you. He's the great shepherd. He does it so tenderly, so powerfully, so richly, and you'll be so glad. It is never ceases to amaze me that how an incredibly, immeasurably powerful God can deal with His people and minister to you and I so tenderly, so amazingly, and fix our wretched hearts. Bless and heal our wounded hearts. Straighten the pathway for our wayward hearts. Setting our face, just like Jesus set His face like a flint toward Calvary, our faces be so set toward the face of God, and we serve Him with all our heart. To love the Lord and to know, because in all things in life, apart from Christ, we are dead. In all the matters in our sinful ways, He raises us up out of the dust, makes diamonds out of dust. He restores our soul, as the psalmist says in 23. He leads us beside the still waters, the pastures of His green word. He leads us in pathways of righteousness for His name's sake. And yes, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we'll fear no evil, because He is with us. And we've walked through many valleys, haven't we? We've gone through very many valleys, and there were something or someone and has died and is no longer with you, or matters have changed, and we'll come to that day when we will travel through that last great dark valley. But the Lord is with us. He's always the answer for every need. It's always about Jesus. He'll always prepare a table before you in the presence of all your spiritual enemies. He'll anoint your head with the oil of gladness for the guidance of His Holy Spirit. He'll overflow your heart with His love. Just ask Him, fill my cup to overflowing. That, my dear friends, is the secret to living. Ask Him to fill your heart with His love. Fill my heart with your love. When you're getting disturbed and angry and upset and hurt and what have you, lost and wavered, you cannot find your way, fill my heart with your love. When you're dealing with peoples and matters, fill my heart with your love. Makes all the difference. Because love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, does not think evil of another, does not hope at anything but what is right. It'll change your life. He is the Lord. Being thankful unto Him that you have a church family. And when you gather around with each other, like on Sunday mornings or at other times, and we have times and seasons of gatherings and events, as you look around and you say, Lord God, I'm so thankful for my church family. I'm thankful to be a part here at Greenspring. And you certainly should probably and will probably gather with your family this week. Just look at them. And all the busy and all the noise and all the stuffing food and all the craziness. And I hope it's a lot of happy fun. Thank the Lord for your family. Families can be the hardest place to love and be loved sometimes. And to care for one another and show forth the grace of God. But do it. Be thankful unto the Lord. Make your way here on Wednesday evening and worship unto Christ. But certainly as you bow in prayer before Thee, your gathering of meals, not only at Thanksgiving time, but may it return to our homes and our families, that we thank the Lord for the food that we are about to eat. For all has come from His hand. And strive to bring the family back together around the table and around the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you so deeply. My dear loved ones, God bless you so deeply. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God, because we know there's a beautiful day coming for all God's kingdom when Christ shall rule. And until that day, Lord Jesus, you said, don't be afraid, for lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And Lord, may we set our hearts and our sights upon the Lord and thereby live every day. May our feet be guided by Christ, our hearts be ruled by Christ. And all that we say and do be unto the Lord, that we will remember the words, God, you gave to Moses a long time ago, and you reaffirmed it in your own life and ministry as you preached and talked and walked. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. First place in our hearts. And thereby we shall live. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we stand and sing this song, it is an old song, and perhaps it may seem to some to be a little bit of a boring song, but as you listen to it and pay special attention and listen to the words you are saying, and as you're singing, come ye thankful people, come. Let us sing together. Your heart will be glad.
Fruitful ears to store.
Almighty God, we give you praise, we give you glory. For you are our life, our hope, our joy, today and forever. We praise you for the cross. We praise you for your word, your promises that are yes and amen. I will, because I said, saith the Lord. You are God Almighty. Lord, arrest our hearts in totality, in your fullness, that we may live and dwell and abide. That, Lord God, we will make your name known wherever you send us out. And we will be found faithful unto the Lord. And we want to thank you for your amazing, awesome, powerful faithfulness to your people, to your word, which you've exalted above all things, that we may know. We love you. We bless you, O King of Kings. Lead and teach and empower our hearts to thankfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. And together we say, amen. Amen. Amen.